Hello and welcome. This is the Cole Memo. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about potential legislative news for cannabis and drug policy in Illinois. Folks, you're tuned into the Cole Memo. I'm your host, Cole Preston. Every episode is released in audio, video, and transcript format. To find the transcript audio or video version of any episode, please refer to the description of the episode that you're listening to now. Within that description, you can find a link that will take you to our website, which will display the transcript for this episode and the platforms where you can find this episode in audio or video formats. If you're unable to locate the episode description on whichever platform you're listening from, simply note the episode number and visit thecolememo.com. From there, you can use our search functionality in the top right-hand corner to find the corresponding episode, and then you'll be able to access the audio, video, and transcript version of that episode. You might also find any links that we referenced during the episode. I've got a few today, so that you might be able to do your own research. That's always encouraged. If you're not listening to this episode of the Cole Memo on Patreon, then you're listening to this episode later than our patrons. To become a patron, go to thecolememo.com/Patreon. It's a great way to support our show. One of the best ways to support our show is absolutely free. Subscribe to or follow our show, leave a positive review from wherever you're listening to us from. Favorite this episode, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, or share it with your cousin. Your engagement and support is appreciated. Today is March 20th, 2024, and once again, I've got my eyes on potential drug policy news, and let me show you how I keep track of this stuff. Sharing is caring. I've never claimed to be anything more than a person that bought a microphone and smokes a lot of weed. I am not a journalist. In fact, I've always insisted on the fact that I am not a journalist. So let's go to legiscan.com to take a look at this. I'm going to share my screen for folks that are watching the podcast to show you what I'm seeing. So if we go to legiscan.com and we go to search, and then, oh, look at that. The text is already filled out as cannabis because I'm always searching that. So I did a text search in the state of Illinois for any bills with the word cannabis inside of it. And I'm going to sort and change the sorting on this last action. And you'll see a few different bills. This first one is not cannabis related, but I will mention it because it's getting to the point where it's been assigned to a committee, it looks like, and they're collecting witness slips and stuff. The Cure Act, in case you didn't know, the Cure Act is the Compassionate Use and Research of Entheogens Act. It would basically create a legal structure for the use of psilocybin and psilocin. So mushrooms, in other words, we've talked about this on the show in the past. It also removes psilocybin and psilocin from the list of Schedule I controlled substances in the state of Illinois. If you'd like to see our coverage on this in the past, I will throw a link in the show notes so that you can see my interview with Representative LaShawn Ford, who is the House sponsor of the Cure Act. I believe this is a Senate bill. Look at me learning the ropes. Okay, so that's the Cure Act. Here are the other things that caught my eye. So let's take a look here. It looks like there was some action on 315, which was about 5 days ago, on this bill, which is Senate Bill 1723. And I took some notes on these. Senate Bill 1723. The bill would amend the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act to remove restrictions on the number of craft grower licenses one entity can hold. This is a little bit unclear to me what exactly they mean on this. It also seems to, I looked in the text of the bill, which I'll show you how I do that here in a moment. It seems to make the craft grower license immediately a 14,000 square foot license. As it stands now, craft growers can go up to 14,000 square feet, but it's in a process where they kind of like are graduated, like they step up from, I think it's like 3,000 to maybe 5,000. And then if they prove they can handle that, then they can increase it further. I think this bill seems to make it so that they would be immediately 14,000 square feet. Again, I'll show you where I am gathering that. The bill also would prohibit advertising cannabis products as craft unless it's produced by a craft grower. And it also exempts craft growers from certain taxes for 2 years after licensing. Now, that first part that I was talking about, the bill prohibits advertising cannabis products as craft. This is some an issue that has come up in the past. Craft growers have become upset that some of the established licensees are, putting a label on their product that says craft. Now, the thing is that this just seems like a silly battle to try and have, because I feel like as soon as you make this not allowed, they're just going to change to another term like small batch or artisanal, something like that. I don't know. But that was Senate Bill 1723. Let's take a look at this text because I'm not sure. There's a few things that stood out to me. I mentioned a few of them. This is an interesting one. So it. In here, it makes it so that it removes restrictions on the number of craft grower licenses one entity can hold and requires the issuance of additional craft grower licenses. So let's look up one. I'm just doing a control F on my computer. And somewhere in here, of course, there's a lot of ones. So one or more. Here you go. A license pursuant to the subsection shall only hold one craft grower license and may not sell that license. So they removed that, but this is my question, and I don't know enough about the law, admittedly, to answer this question, but there should be another part in the law. Okay, so this says shall not hold more than two craft grower licenses. So is it just that you can hold? See, this is the part where it's, and does this have to do with just simply winning? Like if you've, oh, okay, yeah, the issuance of licenses. So I think this is in the context of the issuance of licenses, because at the end of the day, I believe you can have a maximum of three cultivation licenses, which of course I'm having trouble seeing that, but it actually looks like, yeah, here, any person or entity awarded a license pursuant to this subsection shall not hold more than three craft grower licenses, which is what I expected. So now that I looked into this text, I think I understand that part a little bit more. Now, the 14,000 square feet part, that is still a little bit unclear to me, but you can see right here, they clearly struck out the words 5,000 and they're adding 14,000. So this text in green is what is being added. So I encourage you all to look this up yourself and to do your own research, because you can see very quickly how you can almost make sense of this. It's still a lot of legalese, but you can see how it starts to make sense. So that was Senate Bill 1723. I don't know that I have any other thoughts on that. Let's move on to the next one down the line. So there's Senate Bill 3480. I believe I've got notes on it as well. Let's open up Senate Bill 3480. So apparently the bill would amend laws related to medical cannabis programs to address disparities in the industry. It would create a registration process for adult use dispensing organizations with social equity licenses, I guess the ability to sell medical cannabis products. I mean, that's what this seems to be saying. It says in the findings of provisions of the Social Equity in the Cannabis Industry article of the Act, which I don't know in the findings, I don't know what that means. It provides that the General Assembly also finds and recognizes that dispensaries established under the Compassionate Use of Medical Cannabis Program Act enacted in 2000 and 2014 had inadvertently placed those dispensaries with an adult use dispensing organization social equity license at a competitive disadvantage. So this would provide that this competitive imbalance. Yeah, so I think this has to do with giving all dispensaries the ability to sell medical cannabis products, and it aims to rectify what they're calling an imbalance in that regard. Let's move on to the next bill that I saw, 3785. And for this one, So this bill would amend the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act to allow the Cannabis Business Development Fund to support financial assistance for social equity applicants and lottery licensees. It would enable the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity to enter financial agreements to facilitate lending or investment in these entities and allow sharing of licensee information for social equity programming administration. So I'd like to just remind everybody that Illinois News Joint did some excellent reporting on the fact that in a recent Illinois budget approval, the state comptroller directed the state treasurer to transfer $40 million from the Compassionate Use of Medical Cannabis Fund to the Cannabis Business Development Fund. And I believe that is the fund that they were referencing in this law. This is the report by Illinois News Joint. So the reason that's important is because that is money from sick patients. So I guess the funding source for social equity in Illinois is sick patients. Next bill, Senate Bill 3800. This one, I don't think anything was crazy interesting on this one, but let's take a look. Have I even looked at this yet? So, I hadn't looked at this one yet, but at a glance, it looks like it would provide that the Illinois Department of Agriculture and the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation shall issue all agent identification cards under the Act via an online portal. When I say that, look, I'm just looking at the summary, folks, just like I did on the first bill. It's very important to read the full text because they could have this summary. But for example, that Illinois News Joint article that I just mentioned, the bill that I believe passed it was called the Illinois Insulin Act, which would make you think the bill was about insulin. And maybe there were provisions about insulin in it, but I believe it was this like omnibus arrangement. Google that word if you don't want to know what it means, omnibus. And that's how we got this transfer of money from the Cannabis Business Development Fund, or sorry, from the Medical Cannabis Fund to the Cannabis Business Development Fund. So that's what this one is. Let's take a look at the next bill. So this one I did find kind of interesting. I've heard some talk about it in the past, and basically what I'm understanding it to do is it amends the Compassionate Use of Medical Cannabis Program Act by removing references to, quote, excluded offenses, end quote, and provisions prohibiting employed individuals from having such convictions. It replaces the background check provisions with ones conducted by the Illinois State Police for prospective officers, board members, and agents of all medical cannabis organizations. The bill also amends the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act to ensure that nonviolent cannabis-related convictions don't disqualify individuals from serving in the cannabis business establishments or in the cannabis industry. That's the part that I found very interesting. It would provide that, people, if they have a nonviolent cannabis offense, would not be prevented from working in the cannabis industry. That was a thing. I've heard about that before. People that have had cannabis offenses, have been told that they can't work in the cannabis industry. It's like, wait a minute. But isn't that the working experience you'd like? And this last bill looks to be a bill that would provide that a physical examination required by the act may be performed by remote means, including telemedicine, effective immediately instead of may not be. Apparently, the language in the law has said may not be in the past, which is what they're referring to in the summary. Why don't we take a look at it? Again, I want to just show you how to apply this knowledge. So, as you can see right here, this is the way the law reads, and this part that they crossed out is what they're taking out of the law. So the physical examination required by this act may not be performed by remote means, including telemedicine. It's almost like they wrote this perfectly so that they could just scratch out not. It's crazy. Now it will just say may be performed by remote means, including telemedicine. So let's see, is there anything else new in here? It's always good to check. It doesn't look like there is. So I hope that this episode was informative. And I just want to say that It may go without saying, but for those of you that are new to the legislative process, like myself, just because these bills are coming up on LegiScan as like 99%, 95%, that doesn't mean like that's the likelihood. First of all, that's a match if you see the column there. But if you see the status column, like if it says intro 25%, that doesn't mean it's like got a 25% chance of passing. Like, honestly, I think any of these bills have equal likelihood of passing. And often what happens at the end, at least from what I can tell, not only at the state level, but at the federal level, it's like this mad dash at the end to create this like crazy omnibus. And a lot of these bills that are submitted, especially the ones that are submitted early on, are just like placeholders from the bill and for bills. And even legislators will tell you that, you know, they almost call them shells. I believe they call them shell bills. So just because these are bills that have been proposed doesn't mean they will become law. They do have to pass both the Senate and the House and be signed by the governor in order to become law. So just sharing what I know. And of course, if this information is helpful, please be sure to give this episode a thumbs up or favorite it and share it with your friends. And if there's anything that, you know, I got incorrect, please do let me know. Because as I said multiple times through this episode and have always said, I am constantly looking to learn and importantly, share what I learn. And that's a little bit of what I tried to do today. I hope you found, I don't know, I didn't know what I was about to say. I hope you found value in this episode of the Cole Memo. We'll see you on the next one. Take care, everybody. Goodbye.